That's right, Yuka is Akane's...
Since Tetsuka, Yuka wa Akane no imoto.
Retcon complete! Yuka is Akane's little sister. Right, Yuka is Akane's little sister. She was always her little sister. Always? Since when? Always means always. She was always her sister since long ago, and they lived happily ever after. The end. Bye-bye. Akane means all, excuse me, always means always, since long ago. It's been like this since the day you first met Akane. The clear sky above heralds the coming of winter. Soft sunlight shines down from above. He can faintly hear a piano being played inside the school building off to the side. Maybe there's a music class being held right now. He can occasionally hear the whistle of the track team blare out from the sports ground, too. Before Kyoji's eyes is Akane, half naked and seductively moaning out as her hips move wildly. Her hands are against the wall, along which a row of morning glories are growing. The contrast between this peaceful scenery and Akane's nudity feels very sharp in Kyoji's mind. Ever since they first did it, they've climaxed countless times together. Kyoji grabs onto Akane's small behind and parts her cheeks in an exaggerated manner. Parts of her body that aren't usually exposed under the sun are now laid bare before him. Fluids which he can't tell are sweat or nectar glisten in the sun as this raging member pumps deep into Akane's body from behind. He works on instinct, pulling out until he's almost free of her, only to thrust deep inside once again. Each time he pushes into her vagina, she lets out a high-pitched scream, her body shivering. Akane begs him, her voice raspy. She turns her face to look at Kyoji, her bangs clinging to her sweaty forehead. He thrusts all the way in until his waist touches her butt. A slight shake of his pelvis is all it takes to make her raise her voice in a sobbing moan. Her unbuttoned blouse flaps as her body dances. He reaches towards her from behind, grabbing onto Akane's robust breasts as they quiver, tips to the ground in accordance with gravity. Their soft, pliant weight fills his palms. Their tips at their centers are already hard and erect. He presses the bottom of his thumbs against the bulges, using both hands to pinch and tease her nipples until her voice rises and falls with every thrust. He grabs onto both her nipples, pulling her breasts this way and that, as if he were holding reins. Their elastic flesh changes shape easily, shaking as she writhes. Her boobs jiggle like jelly. The sight is so absurd that Kyoji can't help but crack a smile. As he tweaks her nipples, her voice shivers like she's crying. Each time his crotch bumps against her private, strands of her love juices run down their thighs. Maybe it's because it's hard to keep their balance while copulating and standing at the same time, but he grips her nipples more tightly and she screams out. Akane sticks out her hindquarters, trying to keep up with Kyoji's thrust. Their breathing falls into sync as they both pursue carnal pleasure. Spurred by the sound of her sweet breasts and the sight of her exposed genitals before his eyes, he feels the impulse to climax rapidly rising inside his body. Unable to resist it, he lets his instincts take over as he squeezes her breasts. Standing in that uncomfortable position, he releases a seed into Akane. Oh wow, so much it tingles, she says. He supports her from behind as her legs tremble wildly. All her weight now rests on his cock, which is still hard in her, and his hands, which he's still holding onto with both hands. She continues to tremble. Still held in Kyoji's embrace, who's now basking in his afterglow, Akane continues to sluggishly move her body. Hot fluids seep from their linked genitals, dotting the ground below like dew. Akane begs him, her voice practically sobbing. She tries to move her waist and get him to pump in and out of her, but they're too closely joined together. All she accomplishes is working herself into an even greater frenzy. The morning glories in Akane's white skin swirl in his field of vision. He feels hot. The sun overhead is burning him, but more than anything, his privates are sizzling. With his cock deep inside her, her folds, which are now slimy with his semen, cling tightly to him. He can feel the parts of him that were relaxing now regaining their strength and response to her touch. Relishing the feel of their combined secreted juices, Kyoji starts slowly moving his cock in and out. Akane lets out sweet, entranced moans as she starts rubbing her pelvis against him. As instructed, his right hand, which has been groping her breast, slithers down between her legs. Her pubic hair is sodden with her overflowing nectar. He gropes at her butt, hidden within it, making Akane's voice leap up an octave. Her body dances wildly with each thrust. As she bucks against him, Kyoji continues his pistoning inside her while pressing on her clit with his right hand. With her most sensitive spot in his grip, her breath becomes ragged and alluring moans ceaselessly leave her lips. So good! When you touch me inside and out, it feels good! Touch me more. Well, I'm not doing all that. With her voice spurring him on, Kyoji feels pleasure surge through him once again. He puts power into his fingers, pinching her clit harder, rubbing her in time with his thrusts. Soon his fingers grow hot and wet with her overflowing nectar. Using it as lubricant, he rubs her clit up and down, feeling its erect state rub roughly against his fingers. Her vagina tightens as her voice rises. Her womanly folds constrict around his manhood in an attempt to squeeze out his semen. Ugh, no good! In an attempt to prolong the sensation of his incoming climax, Kyoji focuses on his fingers teasing her clit. He rubs her bud left and right, pinching it before kneading. Akane spasms as her orgasm comes crashing down upon her. Her fleshy walls enveloping him contract, closing around him as if trying to tear off his cock. With Akane tightening around him, Kyoji can no longer hold back, unleashing his seed inside her a second time. A warm feeling, which by now has become familiar to them both, spreads from their point of connection. It's a sticky sensation, one that lingers in the languidness following orgasm. Wow, it's still twitching. It feels good. With her hands still against the wall, Akane nearly slides down to the ground. Her body has gone limp after orgasm, so she leans her weight into Kyoji's arms instead. Her hands struggle to find something to support her own weight, clutching at the planter covered with morning glories. A potted plant falls over and smashes with a gentle sound its remains rolling around their feet. The vivid bluish-purple color triggers a response in Kyoji's mind. Morning glories. Morning glories? Morning glories, right. Wasn't there something about Akane and morning glories? His field of vision twinkles and pops. A piece of drawing. Green, brown, a potted plant. A potted plant. Morning glories? No good, I can't remember. It's like he's drowning and thrashing to stay afloat. Drowning and sinking to the bottom would be easy, but the voice that had faded away now surfaces again. It's Kyoji's own voice screaming out from deep within his mind. Remember. Remember. Right, he needs to remember. When did he see it? Just recently he saw something related. The apartment. Somewhere in his room. Where? Where is it? There's something unfamiliar sitting on his desk. He visualizes it in his mind's eye. A dusty notebook sits there. On top of it is a torn leather strap. And at the end of the strap... What was that? Ugh. The image pops in his mind like a balloon. It feels like a cool breeze just blew past. Wrong. A voice. This is wrong. It feels like something has been wrong all this time, but he can't quite put his finger on it. A notebook held together with tape. The bud of a morning glory scribbled on with green-colored pencil. His own young handwriting. Even he has to admit his handwriting was terrible when he was a boy.
Kyoji!
It's Akane's voice, but different from the Akane painting, panting before his eyes. No painting here.
Dame-chan, Kyoji! Doして yabuttari suru no yo?
No, Kyoji, why did you tear it out? Aw, shut up. Why are you pasting it back together? Come on, Akane. Why do you have to stick your nose into my business all the time? I heard what you did. You put one of your buds in my pot. You are looking at that pot like you were about to cry because it wouldn't sprout, so I shared mine with you is all. That's called being a busybody, you know? And I was not about to cry. No way. What? You sat there moping, all on your own. I saw it. Kyoji's potted plant was the only one in class that didn't bloom. When he found out that Akane shared her buds with him out of the kindness of her heart, it only aggravated him. Maybe it was just his silly childish pride, but his joy at seeing it bloom made him feel all the more like a fool when he found out he'd been tricked. They ended up fighting and tussling like always. In the process, they smashed most of their classmates' pots, got chewed out by the teacher, and got singled out at the end of the day. It was hell. But then Kyoji and Akane's relationship was always like this. Looking back on it now, it feels like a silly argument. Well, it was all his fault in the first place.
Kyoji...
Perhaps she felt something was off. Akane looks up at Kyoji, her expression awash with pleasure. He pulls out of her. No, don't pull out yet! This obscenely moaning Akane isn't the one he knows and loves. Remember that one time way back in school when we had to make an observation diary on our morning glories? What? As he quickly fixes his clothes, she levels a suspicious look at him. Back then, you transplanted a seedling into my pot and we had a big fight. Remember that? It was so stupid, but thinking back on it now, it's funny. Hey, forget about that stuff. You can keep going, right? You're still hard. Akane pleads with him, her voice groggy as she reaches for his crotch. But Kyoji shakes his head. He leans forward and places his hands on her shoulders. I'm not sure what gave me this idea, but... You're not Akane, are you? He peers directly into her eyes. Akane gazes back at Kyoji, her expression turning completely blank. A long moment passes, and then suddenly she smirks and starts laughing. An intense wind blows by. All sorts of sounds and colors swirl around Kyoji. It's like he's on a roller coaster, or perhaps he's been dumped inside of a kaleidoscope. The wind is too intense for him to keep his eyes open, forcing him to cover his face with both arms. It's all he can do to stay standing. But then, the wind suddenly dies down. Where am I? He's in a clean, sterile room. From wall to wall, the entire room is covered in nothing but white. It's sterile, clean, silent, and white in every way. The light shining in from the window is too bright, making it hard to see anything outside. A white divider curtain dangles down from the ceiling, flapping in the wind. Gilgi looks around the room. Through the curtain he can just make out a bed. There's someone sitting on it. He can tell from the shadows dancing on the fabric. Beside the bed, seated on a folding chair, is none other than Yoshiki. Ah, Gilgi's expression lights up. You're alive! Ha ha ha! Where have you been all this time? Gilgi hurries over to him, but Yoshiki doesn't turn to face him. Old man? Gilgi waves a hand in front of Yoshiki's face, but he doesn't react at all. It seems Yoshiki can't hear or see Gilgi. Gripped in Yoshiki's hand is a leather-bound notebook. Yoshiki seems to be listening to the woman in front of him with rapt attention. This reality is mistaken. No, it's correct. I witnessed the real world and returned. No, I haven't yet returned. No one would take me at my word. No, everyone believes me. But I really see it. That's right. I couldn't possibly have seen it. The woman's style of speech is very odd. Gilgi can only assume she's not all there. Yet Yoshiki seems to be listening to her with rapt attention. The sky there is purple and blue, green and yellow. It's covered in the color of blood and darkness. It's like an aurora, but much more crushed and pulpy. A perfectly clear, bright, white world. I saw jagged mountains, like the ones you see in Chinese paintings. I saw flat soil. The sky hung low, and the land was rugged and smooth with a sky high above. There were eyeballs floating there. They observed the world. No one would look at me. The woman's words are tapering off as her voice grows softer. Before long, she's only mumbling inaudibly under her breath. And you saw this on Mount Nishimori. Yes, that's right. In the Pillar of Light, the war had ended. It wasn't very long after that. No, quite some time had passed since. They said they'd give us Philippon. No, we got it. They gave us so much. So much Philippon. Gilgi notices that the lady's hands, hidden behind the curtain, are wrinkly and small. But after taking a second look at her, he realizes she looks very good and pretty. And what did you see there? A ritual. Nothing happened there. A ritual? What kind of ritual? At that point, the woman suddenly starts laughing out loud. She bends her body forward and starts beating on the mattress. She bends her head back and laughs, doubles over, and bursts into laughter once more. It seems pointless to talk to her in that state. Yet Yoshiki patiently continues to question him. What did you see there? The woman only keeps on laughing. Her shadow on the curtain frantically whips to and fro like a seesaw. I'll change the question. Did you see a man dressed in black, a tall, monstrously large man in a black mantle? Instantly, the woman freezes. This is a feeding ground. They are toys. And we are fodder. And we are less than fodder at the bottom of the barrel. Below the bottom of the barrel. The woman starts sobbing, then cries, wailing like a small child. At this point, it seems Yoshiki has given up on trying to get information out of this woman. He shrugs and looks at something resting on the side table. It's a familiar stone. Something tugs at Kyoji's mind. He remembers the stone's color. It's vivid like the enameled ceramics he once made during art class. Right, this stone is important somehow. At some point, Kyoji finds himself standing alone in the darkness. When had he seen it before? Where? Why did he forget about it? Kyoji cradles his head. Yoshiki is standing right in front of him. You. Yoshiki points at his own chest at what's hanging from the leather strap dangling from his neck. Suddenly, the world before Kyoji changes yet again. He's back in the hospital room, but the vista outside the window is purple, green, blue, and then yellow. The colors hectically chase each other and become garishly dull. The shades mix and coalesce into toxic shades. The air in the room feels vicious, viscous, and heavy. It clogs his nostrils, chafes his throat, and makes his lungs cry out in distress. The wind blows intensely, whipping up the curtain. Yoshiki's lying on the bed. He's wearing something akin to a hospital gown. His limbs peeking out from under the sleeves and hem of the gown are shriveled up like twigs. Yet his penis is erect, standing robustly upward and gleaming with